Hey guys, so we are back with another round of podcast episodes. I am going to try really hard this time to be just a little bit more consistent, primarily because I have so much information that I just want you guys to know. So I'm going to try to break some of this information down in a way that's really easy and digestible for you, and ways that you guys can take what you hear and easily apply it. So this round of episodes is going to be a lot more simpler than what I was previously doing. I had like these big fancy intros. I had these big fancy outros. I was just, your girl had time on her hands. And I mean, life just picks up and, you know, you gotta navigate through it. So, some things that have been on my heart and on my mind, I don't think we've really talked since, I want to say COVID or like the George Floyd protests. So pretty much just really navigating what does the next level look like. And so anytime I come to a crossroads or I get over a crossroads, I always like to share that information with you guys just so that A, it's fresh in my mind, but B, I never want to lose the lesson, right? Because the lesson is where the blessing is. And so what I'll probably be talking about this episode won't be something that immediately has happened, but just know I try to share everything that I see or that I'm going through or that I see other people going through that I can help with. I try to share that with you guys. And hopefully we build a community around just trying to navigate to the next step. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today specifically, and I'll try to be more in alignment with my post so that you guys can, you know, have it on Instagram and you can see it and then you can also hear it as well. But what I wanted to touch on is I want to get more specific to people who want to be in a leadership role. And I say leadership, but you can use the term leadership very loosely, right? Because you can be a leader as a formal leader, right? As a supervisor or a nurse manager. You can also be a leader as a nurse practitioner. I'm a leader in my role as an educator. So there are clinical nurse leaders. There are nurses who are case managers or in other ancillary areas. And so I want you guys to apply this leadership term very loosely. But what I want you to take from it is if you are trying to shine in your role, if you want to shine, if you want to showcase, if you want to be promoted, if you want to advance, take leadership and kind of, you know, replace it with whatever it is you're trying to do, but you want to grow. So if that's you, then this episode is for you. Okay, so I have broken this down into 5 ways to be considered for a leadership role. I tried to make it vague enough so that wherever you are at, whether you are a floor nurse, whether you're a supervisor, nurse manager, some of those like gray areas in between, you have some type of starting point that you can use. The first thing I would say is make sure that you have a conversation with your manager or your director. This, I always feel like, is the hardest part for people to do. And I say people, but I think we as minorities have more challenges with this because we have more challenges building a rapport with our leadership teams, primarily because our leadership teams don't look like us. Another reason could be because our leadership teams don't really show interest in us. There are a lot of different factors that may turn you off to building a relationship with your leadership. And when I say leadership, I mean your direct leadership or anyone on that team. So that would be your nurse manager, your assistant nurse manager. A good rapport with your charge nurses are a great start. Your director. Those are all a part of your leadership team for your unit. If you are not working in the hospital or on a unit, but whoever your department manager is and their leader is. And so, you know, the hard part is, where do you start with this relationship? Most of the time, your relationship starts with your work ethic. And I think that when you do great work, the relationship, it's easier for you to be seen when you do great work. I do believe that sometimes as minorities, our work goes unacknowledged. And that's where you have to kind of crack out your shell a little bit and really make it clear the things that you've done. So having that conversation with your manager, most managers and directors have an open door policy. So going in there, some little ways that I've built rapports in the past is if their door is open and they're in their office, go in and say hi. Hey, how are you? Just checking on you. Let them know what you've been up to. Tell them about a patient that you had something good happen with. You know, I'm so happy bed 5 finally got to go home. They were here for 2 weeks. You know, start with some of y'all commonalities, which is you both work on a unit. You know, maybe they're a mom and you're a mom. You know, feel free to discuss children if you're comfortable. The goal is to find a segue to get to know your leadership on a personal level. Because once you create this rapport, you'll be on their radar. You know, they'll speak to you. They'll acknowledge your work a little bit more. And it'll make it a lot easier when you go to tell them that you're interested in a leadership role. This leadership role could be something very simple. It could be that you want to start learning how to charge. It could be that you're heavily considering being a nurse manager. Once you get into a nurse manager role, it gets a little bit more clear if you are interested in being a director or not, just based off of how you handle the workload and what your ambitions are. But everything starts with a conversation. I remember I went for a promotion a while ago and I did not tell my boss about it. And she was very upset. She was upset because we had a great relationship and she was always advocating for me. And so she felt like because I didn't tell her that I was interested in this role, that she couldn't advocate for me and she couldn't prepare me. And so afterwards, I ended up not getting the position. Which is a whole nother story I may share with you guys one day. But I ended up not getting the position. But ever since then, she put me in situations where I could win. And they were situations that I could not have put myself in by myself. She acted as a sponsor on my behalf. So when we talk about sponsorship and mentorship, a mentor is someone who helps you through the task of something, right? Like if you have to complete a task, your mentor is going to guide you through that. They're going to give you guidance and support. A sponsor is a little more hands-off. Sponsors will mention your name in rooms. They put your name on the pink slip and they drop it in the hat. So they're the ones that's using their authority and their credibility to put you in front of the right people at the right time. You still have to show up and do the work, but they've handled their end. They've got what we call the buy-in, quote unquote. And so as we continue to talk about leadership, which is going to be our focus for the next couple of episodes, you will hear a lot about buy-in. Buy-in is a corporate term. I think it's a corporate term, but nonetheless, it's a term that I heard from corporate. And it is heavily based on making sure that everyone is in agreement, right? So you have to get buy-in for ideas and for people and for things. And it's almost the basis of politics, right? You have to make sure that everyone buys into this idea. And you being a leader is a new idea. It's a new idea for the company, and it's a new idea for the unit or the department or whatever you are going for. And so your manager, your director, they've already been bought in. They're already in a role. So you want to build off of their leverage. And so that's why you want to have this conversation with them. We'll talk a little bit more on the next episode about how to do these things in detail. But again, make sure that you're loosely making sure that you are on their radar, you know who they are, and you have a personal relationship with them in some capacity. That way, when you introduce the idea of being considered for a role, and this is way before the role comes, then you'll be in a good place. So that's that. Have a conversation with your manager or director. Next, you want to really look at your behavior, right? So you want to take a kind of a critical eye at your behavior. And this is your day-to-day behavior, because once you start thinking about being a leader, you have to view yourself through that lens way before you ever get the role. And this is the hard part, specifically for us as minorities, because we aren't groomed this way. We typically aren't groomed this way. But I'll tell you, a lot of people in corporate America who are successful, they've already been groomed. So you are looking at your behaviors, you're looking at your actions, and you're always holding yourself to a standard of, am I being a leader in this situation? Case in point, avoid talking bad about leadership to your colleagues. I put this one in there because this is the easiest one for us to do. This is the easiest mistake for us to make, because we love our colleagues, right? And there is nothing better than cracking a good joke about a decision management made or venting about another initiative that they have us doing on top of all the other 100 things that we have to do. It's our, literally, you know, venting is our love language as nurses. It's how we express ourselves, it's how we prevent getting burnt out, it's how we build camaraderie. Well, listen, a couple months ago, actually it was almost a year ago now, I was on a flight, and I got this book, and it's called Manage Up, Coach Down. I think that's what it's called. I'm going to confirm it for you. But it was a really good book. I got it at the airport, and it changed my life, because it talked about how you can use your power as a informal leader. And so what it is when you coach down, you're almost allowing yourself to take on a leadership role informally and do what you would do if you were really in a leadership role. So here's an example, because that may sound a little crazy. But if you guys are tasked with, I don't know, let's say a new CAUTI initiative or something, and it just seems really, really impossible for you guys to do, instead of talking to your colleagues or your peers in a way that you continue to harp on all the ways that this thing won't work, when you coach down, you start to provide solutions. And so you're that team player that it's almost like you're making it hard for people to come to you and complain, because you're so solution oriented and you're so positive. So you're going to be the one that's like, man, I know it's tough to document every single CAUTI. I mean, you should be documenting CAUTIs, but you guys get what I mean. Document every single Foley that we put in, but what kind of ways can we be really diligent about it? And I know it's going to be uncomfortable at first, because you're going to be going against the tide, right? And so going against the tide is all of your peers are turning left and saying this won't work, and you're going to try to change the tide. You're going to try to go right a little bit. And A, it's going to be uncomfortable because you're going to be setting yourself apart. But B, it's going to be uncomfortable because you are now in a position where you have to influence your team. And that's essentially what a leader does. So that discomfort that you feel, it's not going to get any easier when you get into a leadership position. You may have the quote unquote authority, so you may have the title if you became a leader, but you won't have the reputation. People won't know you as being able to get things done. So when you become a leader, think about those leaders that always have these mandates and these requests and these asks, and no one really listens to them because no one really cares, because they don't have any credibility amongst the team. So your job, when you're avoiding talking bad about leadership, when you're coaching down and managing up, you are asserting yourself as an informal leader. And that's your magic. That's what you have to find out, is how do you influence your team, right? Maybe you are a really funny, silly person and they enjoy that about you. They enjoy that you're lighthearted, and so they trust you because they know that anything that's stressful, you know, you're going to make it more lighthearted. I was the one that really got stuff done. Like, structure wise, I worked well under pressure. I unfortunately was not the fun one, but I had other fun colleagues, so it worked. But you just have to know your magic. And so anytime things got crazy, they were like, where is Kalia? And that's it. And maybe you need a stress reliever and you go find that funny person who can make the situation better. But whatever your magic is, as you are climbing the ladder and trying to figure out what you want to do next, really understand who you are amongst your peers. And if you don't have a relationship with your peers, this is a really good opportunity to look into that as well. What is your relationship with your peers? Do they trust you? Do they like you? Do they listen to you? And so that's where we get into this arena of, do you really understand your value? Okay, so moving into number three, establish yourself as a valuable resource on the unit or department. So when you establish yourself as a valuable resource, going back to that informal leader is doing behaviors that reflect them as a leader, right? So you're showcasing to your team that you're a leader well before you're in the leadership position. Well, one of the biggest things, and I'm telling you, you guys, if you get in a position and you're not prepared, they're going to eat you alive. Whoever your team is, whatever you're responsible for, is going to eat you alive if you don't establish yourself as a valuable resource. Okay. So being a valuable resource, one of the things I learned when I first started doing charge is you got to answer questions, right? And sometimes these questions are tough questions. They're questions that the nurses don't know. So when you're trying to establish yourself and you're thinking about leadership, you got to think about those questions that you're going to ask your charge nurse. How would you answer them yourself? As a charge, I would get asked all type of stuff, because it's so easy. It's so easy to go to your charge nurse. It's so easy to go to whoever your leader is and put it on them. But if you're thinking about leadership, you got to think about, how would I answer these questions? And we're going to talk about this more when it comes to your interview process, because when you're interviewing, you got to think like a leader and you have to answer your questions like a leader. So you can't solve the problem. This is a good quote that I heard. You can't solve the problem at the same level it was created. So repeat that back to yourself. You can't solve the problem at the same level that it was created. Okay. So you have to elevate your thinking, because if one of your nurses comes to you with a really complex situation and they need to know who to go to next, you need to be able to give them some type of guidance, right? And it only gets worse once you become charge, and then once you become a manager and a director, it gets more complex. And so you really want to make sure you have a solid foundation of your unit, of processes, of operations, of who to go to, of what questions to ask. And this is where we go back to building relationships. When you have great relationships, you can call somebody on night shift at 3 o'clock in the morning and they will provide an answer for you. You can text them. You can, all of these things are built by relationships, right? But if you're the antisocial one, if you're the one that's always irritated, if you're the one that hangs up on the ER, if you're the one that calls the ICU when with an attitude, when you need someone to come pull a dialysis port at 12 o'clock at night or at 12 in the afternoon when they're being slammed with admissions, no one's going to want to do it, but it's affecting your discharge times. So think about when you start thinking about leadership, think about how the organization functions as a whole. So you are no longer just an employee that shows up and goes home. You are now a part of a larger team, a larger network, a larger dynamic, and it all has to function. It has to be smooth. And that's why if you have tension with colleagues, if you have tension with leaders, if you have, you know, you and your manager are always butting heads, it's going to be really, really hard for them to buy in because there's conflict. So establish yourself as a resource. Put your thinking caps on how you would handle issues from a leadership level. If you walked in and everyone has 6 patients and you normally have 4 patients, are you going to complain with everybody else? Are you going to motivate the team to get the job done? Are you going to make suggestions on other ways that, you know, you guys can handle that shift? Are you going to grab the directory and start calling people and see who else can come in? What are you going to do? And that's going to show you who you are in leadership, is who you are when you're out of leadership. So you don't become a leader when you are in a leadership role. You're a leader way before that. You're a leader once you decide to be a leader. And that's in all honesty. Okay. Tip number 4 on getting into a leadership role is look for ways to showcase your leadership skills on committees or projects. So this one is a really, really good one if you want to dip your toe in the water, right? So we all should have unit-based committees. We all should have shared governance. Each unit has several projects that they need to accomplish, that the nurse manager needs to accomplish. You are looking for ways to insert yourself, right? And you're inserting yourself so you can be seen. You're inserting yourself so that you can get an idea of what the work would require. You're inserting yourself to see if you even like this or not. So if you find that you run away from committees or that you don't speak up for projects, you may want to reconsider leadership, or you may want to adjust your attitude and start to lean into some of those opportunities. You know, there are CAUTI committees and fall committees within the hospital. With me working in education, there are several projects that are always kicked around. And then I just went to my boss when I first started a few years ago, and I was like, hey, if you have any projects that you know, need me to take something small, I'll do it. And that's how your leadership team builds trust with you. They want to be able to know that they can hand you something and you're going to do well with it, because that trust and that credibility and that dependability, it's going to set your reputation when you get into a leadership role. So it's great if you can do it beforehand. We as minorities, we don't get the benefit of the doubt. So, you know, Sally over here can never be on a committee, never showcase any leadership skills and get the job because she's nice or she's sweet or, you know, a friend of the family. But that doesn't work for us. We have to really be able to show our character, and we have to be solid in our character most of the time before people will take chances on us. And, you know, getting into leadership, you gotta have tough skin. You can't cry and whine about, some of the things that you see going on, you have to remember what your bigger purpose is and what you're trying to accomplish, whether that's, you know, trying to set a precedence for being a minority in leadership, whether that's trying to make tangible changes on your unit, whether that is, you know, just trying to challenge yourself. Whatever your reason for leadership is, it's going to have to be more than the money, and it's going to have to be more than like status, because the journey, it's hard, it's tough, you know, but it's definitely worthwhile. So tip number 4 was look for ways to showcase your leadership skills. Speak up about being on committees and projects and things that you may be interested in. I spoke about wanting to, it's a couple things, but back when I was a floor nurse, I spoke up a lot about just ways that I felt like we can get things done differently or better. And it did not come off well, but I learned to adjust my tone and I learned to adjust my languaging. In my defense, I was a tad bit rough around the edges. And so that's why I say it's okay. It's okay if you're not perfect. You don't have to be perfect. But once you realize, you know, maybe you are attacking management and you don't know what their workload looks like. Maybe you are coming off rude and they'd be more receptive if you had a one-on-one conversation. Maybe you blurt things out in the middle of a huddle and that would be better off being said in the manager's office. So there are a lot of little little things that you can do differently to get better results. But again, don't be discouraged and don't feel like you're being picked on. A lot of the time, I will honestly say this, out of my entire leadership kind of journeying, there have been more people rooting for me than not. Okay. And so if I felt like you had to change and be inauthentic, I would never recommend that to someone else. Do I think that we have to make adjustments? Absolutely. But that's life, right? Like you're going to have to adjust to something. So again, if you don't want to be uncomfortable, leadership isn't for you. But if you can adapt easily, and if you're flexible, and if you're willing to make a few changes, this will be a very fulfilling journey. And then one of the last things for this episode is personally get to know your colleagues and your leadership team. So I know we talked about having a conversation with your manager or your director, but personally getting to know your colleagues and your leadership team, that was one of the things that was hardest for me to do. Particularly because I have been burned with a few of my colleagues before, particularly as a new nurse. I've been a nurse for 10 years, and so you really have that nurses eat their young kind of mindset. And so I had to be a little bit more guarded and cautious around people. And so it takes me a really long time to warm up to my colleagues. To their defense, they've only wanted to just get to know what kind of person I am. So I will talk more about this, or you guys can feel free to reach out if you're like, hey, look, I don't be feeling my coworkers. I need some help with this. I'll help you. But I learned to walk in with a narrative already created. Okay. And that narrative is not a fake narrative. This narrative is one that you feel comfortable sharing. I still have very hard boundaries when it comes to what I share with my colleagues. And, you know, recently a colleague asked to follow me on Facebook and I was like, yeah, no. And they may or may not have been offended by it. I don't know. But it's a hard boundary for me. I reserve the right to have spaces where it's just not being watched by people from work. And that's just that, right? Like, but to her defense, she was like, well, I just want to get to know you a little bit more. And Facebook is a common way that people get to know each other. And so I think we as minorities are extremely uncomfortable because our lives have been, you know, put under microscopes. We've been torn apart and judged for our lifestyles. We've been misunderstood. We've been abused both in and out of the workplace. And so building a relationship or letting someone into your life is really uncomfortable. But I will say to be a part of a leadership team in general requires a level of trust. And so you may have to let go of some of those areas where you're really guarded in. And, you know, you do your own assessment into what you feel like is, you know, easy for you to let someone in and not. I talk about my mom because I love my mom and my mom is a big part of my life. I talk about my niece and my nephew, particularly my niece, because I just am having fun with my auntie life. I talk about a house that I got. And so I kind of center my stories around those three things. And to me, that's enough for you to know me. You know my mom, you know my niece, you know that I have a house. Every now and then I'll tell them like a funny little dating story, especially if they're like talking about their husbands and their kids. You know, I'll share that. But you know, that's my narrative. Like if someone was to say, who is Kalia, they could say enough about me where they felt personally connected to me, but not enough where, you know, like what me and my mama arguing about or like how much my mortgage is, like those details, which I recognize as minorities, sometimes we get really, really comfortable and we talk too much. And I know y'all know a colleague that just be talking too much, you know? So you kind of got to gauge that, but I'll let you know, if you don't share anything about yourself, you won't get far in leadership, because people A, want to connect with you, and B, they need to know you, they need to trust you. And so I would say it's easier to walk in with a narrative that's yours, a narrative that you can frame and build on and still be authentic, because that's the key, is maintaining your authenticity without giving away everything that you feel is your power. So I hope these things have helped you in some capacity. Again, this is 5 ways to be considered for a leadership role. I do want to talk more about some of these issues, but I told myself I would keep these things short and sweet. And I wouldn't make it harder than what it had to be. So I hope this has helped you guys. Again, feel free to reach out if something wasn't clear, or if you're struggling with any one of these areas, just, you know, send me a DM. Again, it's at Black Girl Blue Scrubs on Instagram. Just shoot me a DM and we can talk more about it. But thank you guys. I hope you are staying warm and gearing up for your leadership journeys and whatever life has in store for you. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.